This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's a wonderful time in Texas.
Oh, it really is. You know, now we're into December. It's, what, this December 2nd? And so we're, what, three weeks away from Christmas, I think? A little less
That's
than four?
Right. And let me tell you something. This year, they start so early, my head is still spinning.
I'm sure.
I mean, the lighting people said, no, we have to put your Christmas lights up early.
Yeah.
And we put them up on November 16th.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
People were telling me, we've got our tree up. And my head spun again.
Wow.
And I go, I just can't believe it.
I know.
And on Monday, there was billions and billions done on the Internet.
Yes.
People went crazy.
Yeah, it was the biggest Cyber Monday in U.S. history.
That's right. And I tried to order things. And the orders wouldn't even go through. There were so many people doing it.
Really?
I had to call the companies.
Oh, no.
And much to my surprise, this one company that I was trying to order from, when I looked them up, it said they were in the Netherlands and England.
Really?
And here I am trying to order from. And it said, when I tried to order, it said, you're not close enough to the location.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that.
I never had either, and it was interesting to me. And so I looked it up, and they said, they have a New York location. And I go, oh, goody, I'm going to call them.
Yeah.
And, I've never ordered anything that was outside the country.
Yeah.
And for them to tell me I wasn't close enough to the location, I thought that was pretty interesting.
So did you get things ordered from the New York location?
I did. I called them. They said, well, the Internet's just too busy right now, but we can take your order verbally.
Oh, wow.
And I said, fine. I'd love to do that.
And did you have to wait for hours to talk to a person?
No, not at all.
Really?
They came right on the phone.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yes, they came right on the phone, took the order. Took my money, wasn't the problem.
No, yeah, they have no trouble taking your money.
No, they had none. I loved it. And then they said, we will let you know when this is going to ship.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's being shipped from New York City.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And they had a choice of 15 to 20 days, 10 to 20 days, 7 to 15 days.
And each one gets a little more expensive.
And I said, I'll take the 7-day if I can get it.
Yeah.
I said, I don't want to wait till after Christmas to get this.
Yeah.
And it's just, my luck has been different this year. I've been ordering things, as I said, on the Internet and finding out where they're really coming from.
Yeah. We don't always, know that.
No, we don't. Because most of us go to the store.
Yeah.
And they have all this in stock, And I ordered another item, a pair of boots, and they were gorgeous. They were red and turquoise on the bottom. Then they had this beautiful Indian design going up them.
Ooh.
And the company was called Banggood.
Oh, wow.
Banggood. And they're not a U.S. company either.
Really?
Come to find out.
Well, you're doing business with all kinds of foreign companies.
I have, and I've never done that in my life.
Wow, that you know of.
That I know of. Because usually I go straight to the store, buy everything, bring it home, and wrap it.
Yeah.
But not this year. I was doing everything online.
Wow.
And I made all these new discoveries.
They say so many people this year, when they did their online shopping, they did it on their phone. They didn't even go to an actual desktop computer.
Oh, and I was on the computer doing it.
Well, next year you'll be on the phone ordering on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, this is a new world.
It really is.
And I love the fastness of it, you know. I mean, this didn't take 10 minutes to do either order.
Yeah.
And if I'd have went to the store, I'd have been there an hour.
Yeah.
In each store.
Yeah. It's just too easy now, isn't it?
It is getting easy.
Yeah.
And fast. And
yeah.
It's a new world.
They really want your money, and they make it as easy as possible to give it to them.
That's exactly right. And they're saying, if you'll do business with us, you know, you're not going to have all those salesmen and all these people to deal with.
That's right.
Stand in line at the counter.
Oh, no.
And I don't like that.
No, nobody likes that. And then people running you over with their buggy and trying to, you know, steal stuff out of your buggy and all that.
Oh, my. I've never had that happen.
Oh, you really?
No.
Clearly, I'm shopping at the wrong places.
You are shopping at the wrong company. You're going to have to upgrade a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I believe you need to do that.
Woo.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever heard of Neiman Marcus?
Yeah, but they don't let me in there anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there was an incident back in 96, and so I can't go in there.
Oh, no. Well, what I love about Neiman's is now they have sales all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because they haven't been making any money, and they'll put things on sale that you won't believe, and the prices I think are right, and I just giggle to myself and buy. Yeah, I do. I just go, this is great.
Wow.
And, you know, I had forgotten that Horchow is owned by Neiman's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I also ordered from Horchow. And as I was ordering, I got down to paying, and this girl said, I need the last four numbers of your credit card. I thought, that's strange. I always start at the front and go to the back on the credit card. No, she said, just need the four. I gave it to her. Oh, yes. She says, Miss Bagby, we have all your credit card information.
Oh, wow.
And I forgot they're part of Neiman Marcus. That's why they had my information.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she told me what other sales they had that day.
Oh, really? Well, that was nice of her.
It was. And she said, have you checked the perfume? And she gave me that one kind. And she said, you know, it's on sale today. And she told me several things. And I thought, that was awfully nice of them.
Yeah. Did you buy any of the perfume and get those other things on sale?
Yes. I mean, that's the way you do it.
And boy, they saw you coming a mile away.
Yeah, they said, boy, this looks like an easy putt. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad you had a wonderful shopping week.
I did. I just, you know, had that. I spent one whole day just having fun on the internet and learning about all these things. And next year, I will be poised.
Yeah, you're going to be shopping on your smartphone, and you're not even going to get up and go walk over to the computer. You're just sitting there right there on the couch.
That's right. I can do it all right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's December's the most fun time of the year, you know. I love the things the children get. And, you know, what I've noticed this year is they've got sophisticated toys for kids, not the usual things.
Oh, really?
One of them is a Lego deal that you can make a robot.
Really?
With your Legos, and I'm really interested in that.
Cool.
I mean, that sounds like, for a child, a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds for an adult like a lot of fun.
That's really right. And they also had a tiger that has 100 words.
Really?
He can respond to you.
Now, really?
That's interesting.
Wow.
You know, computers are everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
And now that they're in the animals, I don't know what the little kids will think.
Computers are in the animals.
That's right. And they talk. I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's a little scary. It's a little creepy sometimes. But they'll eventually take over the universe.
They will. And they're just almost there, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So now we're into the holidays, and we got the shopping on the mind, and a lot of us are already going into like Christmas mode, and because, you know, we're just a few weeks away, and people tend to kind of slack off this time of year, and we don't really think about making money, we think about spending money, and that is where you separate, I guess, the men from the boys, is those
that's
who are
exactly
continually
right.
making money, as opposed to just spending it, and so this is what we want to do. This is what it's all about. It's still, you know, go out and spend until you're blue in the face. As long as it's within your budget, but you still want to make money, and that's what's going on right now.
Well, in fact, a client sent me a little message right at Thanksgiving and thanked me for what he just made. He just made $49,000. And, you know, he wasn't expecting it. And he's been kind of down in the dumps because his policy hadn't come due. Yeah. And it came due, and it's one of those old ones that you and I talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so excited, he sent me a little message for Thanksgiving and said, "Have a happy Thanksgiving." And he hadn't been saying that to me lately, by the way. And he did, because he was so thankful that it did come to fruition. He did get that $50,000. He's got another policy. He's in one more old policy,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to make around $100,000 when it comes due.
Wow!
So now his spirits are lifted, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, I would say so. It's I guess that's probably a great way to spend the holidays, is to start it off with an extra unexpected $49,000 in your bank account.
That's right. You know, it does give you a lift. Let's face it.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it gets you right up there and. You're thanking Faye instead of saying, "That dumb Faye, you know, I ain't got my money."
Usually cookies and pie give me a lift, but $49,000, that's not anything to sneeze at.
It's not.
And so this is what it's really all about. And really, once you start investing in alternative investments like this, those kinds of things happen on a regular basis. You know, you invest in these things, and then you basically just set it and forget it. You don't have to do anything. There's no maintenance to it. You put it in there, and then you do the investment, and then all of a sudden when it comes due, you get this note, "Hey, surprise, here's some money."
That's right. And it was a significant amount, wasn't some little bitty deal. But we've had people that are not accredited. They still don't really understand how this works. You know, they'll make $7,000 to $10,000, and, they just don't understand it. I don't understand that they don't understand how this works, you know, that... you get paid, you know, they'll send me a note saying, "Well, when will I get my money?" Now, they've been told 5 times, you get your money every time a policy matures, and you get it in 6 to 8 weeks. You know, it's fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had so many maturities this year. We've never had this kind, and we're trying to get all this money reinvested. And we've got a lot of policies that we're finishing up. Some of them will be... next week, I know at least $2 million that we'll be putting out to people. We're getting finished up, and we should have the information to them, I imagine, Tuesday morning.
So you've got almost $2 million in policies that you need to start filling in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, well, we need to fill it this next week. So I'm going to try to start filling it maybe on Tuesday, because that $2 million, we need to get that out and get their money out of just cash, which cash is nice, but they're all wanting to reinvest and make more money. That's what they're there for. So we'll be doing that as quick as possible.
So I think it's, since you brought it up, it is probably worth mentioning a little bit about how this type of alternative investment works. We're talking about investing in life insurance policies. And this is when somebody has to sell their policy for a number of reasons, whether it's, cancer treatments, because those are very expensive, or, you know, some people want to settle their estate, but they need to sell the policy. And for that to happen, they need people there to buy the policy. And that's what you do.
That's exactly what we do. And, we're buying policies every week, as fast as we can. And we can buy more than most any company because we have clients' money on hand to do it. And, we buy just as many as we can. We get as many out of legal as quickly as we can. That's what I always hate. The legal amount takes, 2 to 3 weeks. Because you have to make sure that they own it, that they've paid the premiums, that it had never lapsed, that it's not in that 2-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And time you do all that, you've wasted 2.5 weeks.
Sure, yeah.
But there any way around it? You know, if I could find a way around all this, I would be doing it if there was a quicker way. But there isn't. And everything has to go through the licensed provider, always.
Sure.
So when we buy through them, they have to deal with the broker, and the broker deals with the client.
Sure.
And if we could ever get the middleman out, this would be a wonderful deal. We could close something really fast.
Now, did you drop a hint a couple weeks ago that there is a possibility that you're kicking around the idea of you becoming the broker and phasing out that middleman?
we would love to do that. We're seeing if our lawyers can do that.
Okay.
Because it would save us a lot of money. Our clients would make more. We would make more. And we wouldn't have the time period. That's the main thing. You know, having to wait on these people, which we all hate to do.
Yeah. And that really is the biggest part is the waiting, because you got to wait for the policy, you know, everything to be signed, and then it's yours. And then you start filling it, and then, you know, you need those signatures back. So you need the signatures back even from investors, which generally I would assume is not that long of a period, right?
Sometimes it can take 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Okay.
I don't know why. You know, they say yes, they want to sell the policy. Yes, they want to sell it to us. But then getting them to sign it and getting it right back is not easy.
Yeah, see, but I guess of all the things to worry about, that's probably one of the best things, because you're not worried about, you know, oh my gosh, is the value of my investment going to go down? You're not worried about, oh my gosh, am I going to, like, is my entire investment going to get wiped out if something happens around the world that has no, you know, it has nothing to do with my life or my investment or anything like that. You don't have to worry about any of those things. So I guess if in the grand scheme of things, if the worst thing to worry about is just waiting for, you know, all the I's to get dotted and the T's to get crossed, that's probably pretty cool.
Yes, I think so too, because once we get it done, you're in the policies, you're ready to go, you can forget about everything till we make the call and say, your policy's matured, here's your dadgum money. Here's a great thing.
Here's your money, now quit calling me.
No, we don't say that. We say, here's your money. It's a wonderful time. We'll get it reinvested. Yeah, because we're excited about always. We're always excited.
Oh, sure.
It's paid off. And as I said, I don't know who made the most money with our company this year. I'll probably add it up for the years over to see who made the most. Because we've had people that made $300,000 this year. And I don't know if that's the most they made or if we've had people that made more than $300,000.
Wow. That's insane.
It is. And everybody thinks that the stock market's doing good. My gosh, our people have done good. And I think that although the stock market has done real well, I think we've probably done just as well. You know?
Well,
the policies that paid off, all paid off early. A lot of them made 24 or 18% just a short time.
Mm-hmm.
And even the stock market didn't make that much, you know, in a quick, you know, just a few months.
Well, now you brought up the stock market, and I know earlier this week we had a big record-breaking day. It hit over 24.
That's right.
And so when you look at the trajectory, take an investment in Wall Street, and you take an investment like what you're doing with these life insurance policies, look at the trajectory. Look what's going to happen in the future. We know at some point, even though it's going up right now, whatever goes up must come down on Wall Street. That's a fact. It's proven history. That is going to happen at some point. We don't know when. But we know that what goes up is going to come down. So when Wall Street does fall, whether it's a 2008 type situation or it's just a not quite as much of a severe dip, we know that's going to happen. But investing in life insurance policies isn't going to take that dive.
No, it will never take a dive, because whatever you signed up for, that's what you're going to make. Now, you may make it a lot quicker than you thought you were going to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that happens all the time. But you're going to get your money. You're going to get the money amount that you signed up for. It may not be as long as you thought. You thought you were going to get it in 24 months. You may get it in 18. You may get it in 12. You never know. But it doesn't go down. You don't have the swings like you do in the stock market. But every time the stock market gets really high, people go crazy.
Yeah.
Now, and they buy in when it's high instead of when it's low.
That's backwards.
It is backwards, and people do it all the time. I don't know why in the world you'd buy at the top when the stock market is at the highest. Where's your profit going to be?
Exactly.
You're paying the total highest amount to get into the stock market, and then when it goes down, you wonder why you're going to lose so much.
Exactly.
Now, if you'd bought in low and it went high, you're in great shape. But all these people that are buying in now have rocks in their head. I mean, that's my opinion. The old rock is in the head, you know?
Oh, boy. All right, so let me ask you this, because I know you've been studying this for a very, very long time, and you're looking at the stock market right now. You see the big week that we've had. What do you say to somebody who is in the stock market? Say somebody did buy when it was low, and they've had a huge time on Wall Street right now. What do you tell them? Do you say, hey, I think within a few weeks, maybe a month, and I know you don't really know for certain, but what does your gut tell you is going to happen on Wall Street?
Well, I don't know. It's a strange deal this time, because it has risen and risen and risen. And part of it is because we have a new president. He has all these forward ideas. And if he pulls off this tax cut, then it may really go up. I don't know. But you never know. Any little thing could stop it in a day. You remember the other day when it lost 100 points?
Oh, yeah.
And it's unpredictable.
And see, there's so many factors right now, and this is where I get confused, because I don't study it like you do. But I know, like you said, if tax reform goes through, it could go, you know, through the roof. Stock market
could
go very, very well. On the other hand, we have some threats globally from like North Korea, which could make things go down.
We could have a dive over that.
I mean, there are so many major factors on the table right now. It seems to me like it would be really like betting on the wind at this point.
It kind of is, because if a person says, okay, instead of being greedy, I've made this money in the stock market, why don't I take it out and get it to safety while we know it is up?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a prudent man.
Mm-hmm.
A high-stakes gambler is going to say, it's going to go up even more, I'll just ride it out. But remember in 08, it sneaked upon them.
Yeah.
It sneaked upon them, and the brokers wouldn't tell them, get out.
Yeah.
And we all got out in August before the crash.
Mm-hmm.
We knew there was something bad going on, but a lot of people didn't. And it's because their brokers didn't tell them to. The brokers lost them so much. A lot of people changed brokers, or they brought it over to us. We had lots and lots of money come our way because of what happened, how much they lost.
Yeah.
And they had to start over. You know, they had 40% less than when they went in there.
Wow. You know,
that's not good.
It seems like it's almost like blowing up a balloon. And you keep blowing it, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger. And it's like you're never really sure when that balloon is going to pop. And when it does, if you're still in, very, very bad things can happen. I'm sure we all remember 9 years ago when we had the whole situation in 2008. And people still have not recovered. So this would be the time, it seems to me, like enjoy the high. And this is different for everybody. Some people may think, okay, we'll ride it out a little bit further. But for some people, that may not be right. And so for those
who... I think
who,
it depends on their age.
You're
60 years old, take the profit. Get out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 55, take the profit. Now, if you're younger, you can ride it out. But I think if you're getting ready to retire, and we have a lot of people this year that are retiring that are going to retire in December.
Yeah.
They're 59 years old. They're retiring early, and they're not waiting, and that's fine. Their money will go on earning money whether they're working or not because they've got it with us. So we have a lot of people that retired last year. We have more that's going to retire this year, and they're looking at Granbury. They're looking at Weatherford. I had some looking at some other places, and I was cringing. I'd a lot rather them go to Weatherford or Granbury.
Yeah.
You know, where we've got lakes, and we've got water, and we've got golf.
Yeah.
You know, don't go out here in the country to some little town that has nothing to offer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They've waited all their life. They need trees. They need water in their yards, and they need golf and lots of water.
Yeah, lots of fun things to do.
That's right. Go for the fun things.
So if somebody is approaching retirement, say they're, say maybe not even that close, say 40s or 50s, and they're staring retirement down maybe 10, 15, 20 years from now, is it fair to say, okay, when somebody's weighing, do I stay in the stock market or do I actually go ahead, take the profit and reinvest it in something a little bit safer? Is it fair to say that the main question you want to ask right now is, what can I afford to lose?
I always ask people that. How much can you afford to lose? And most of my people say, I can't afford to lose anything. I go, well, my goodness, you know, what are we doing 100% in the stock market?
Exactly.
You know? Maybe you could have less in the stock market and be a lot safer, okay?
So for somebody who is in their 40s or 50s, say, and they're enjoying some really nice profits on Wall Street, what do you tell them? Take that money out and do what?
Well, diversify. Go ahead and put some money with me. Leave some money over there. Now, if they've got enough, or you have to make sure you can take it out. Remember, some of them have a certain year that you can take your money out, and some of them say you're not taking any of it out until either you quit or retire.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of things you have to know. You have to talk to your HR department and see what your situation is.
Okay.
And, you know, I've got a lot of people that did retire. Another guy moved to Austin. Well, he retired from his company, and he sent them notice that all the money was going over to us. He didn't want the risk. He didn't care how high the market was.
Yeah.
He said, I don't need the stock market risk. I'm retiring.
Well, I mean, and like you were saying before, you think at least a couple of investors this year may have made near $300,000. Not everybody. We know that because everybody's situation is different. But if you can make even, say, a third of that, say, $100,000 just by doing these types of investments, I would say it's probably well worth it because, you know, we were talking about the risk. The stock market, the bottom could fall out at any time. So what are the risks involved, and why does investing in life insurance policies become so attractive the closer you get to retirement?
Well, because of the issues. You know, you don't have all the issues of, you know, how much is it going to be worth when I retire? You know exactly how much of your principal is going to be there when you retire. And then, after a couple of years with us, you know kind of how the interest is going, so you're going to know, you know, in 7 to 10 years, what you're going to have. You know, it's pretty easy to figure out. You know these are all going to come due. You know they may come in early. They may come in on time. And then there'll be a percentage that'll be off, and they'll come in late. But you're going to allow for all that. So you're going to know how your portfolio will look when you do retire.
So if something
does, what everybody's looking for.
If it does come in late, you've got to pay some premiums.
Yes, you do.
And that's accounted for.
That's accounted for. And the other thing is a lot of them, even if it goes over, that first year, we escrowed originally enough to carry it another year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of those. So that protects you. And then you knew going in on page 14 what the premiums would be if it went over. So that's always good to know that.
When you have somebody come to visit you for the first time and they're thinking about investing in a life insurance policy, is one of their main concerns that premium? And maybe if it does go over, are they concerned that that's going to wipe out their entire profit?
They want to know up front, what is my exposure on premiums?
Mm-hmm.
And we tell them, you know, I'll go over several policies and show them what it was. We do still have, as you know, those three policies that have huge premiums, and we talk about it. We don't hide it under a bush how unhappy I am about those policies. You know, everybody knows Faye's opinion on that.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that we don't want to ever have that happen again. We don't want to ever have high premiums. And when we bid something, we're not going to bid anything over 3% premiums.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are 1% to 2%, so that you cannot get hurt.
So we're talking about a very, very, very small percentage, and it's really not going to wipe out your profit
margin. No, it will not
margin.
Wipe out anything. You might have to pay premiums for 1 to 2 years, mm-hmm. but it's not going to hurt you. You know, it may be $100 a year. It might even be $300.
Yeah.
But that will not break you, and that will not keep you from making your profit.
Yeah.
Because when you've got 24% to 27% profit, this is a small amount to pay.
Yeah. And when we're talking about a minimum investment of $100,000, you know, if you've got to pay $200 in premiums, say, you know, you do the math. I can't do it.
It's very small. If you're making 24%, you know, 1% or 2% is not going to hurt you.
Yeah. It's still an enormous profit margin.
Yes, it is. It's a very good profit margin, and we always put the client first. We make sure they're going to make that 1% a month.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it runs a little over to 1% a month. We've had people that, on a 24-month policy, they actually made 26.
Yeah.
And we can't do that all the time because bidding is tough this year. It's ferocious.
Sure, yeah.
But, we're still going to come out all right. It's just that bidding is really tough right now, and we're having to discount our fees a lot in order to get the policies.
Mm-hmm.
Because the big guys, you know, are still haven't spent all their clients' money yet.
Yeah. And I think you sort of alluded to this a few minutes ago about, those policies of elderly people. And there's a big difference between buying a policy of an elderly person, which you don't do anymore, and somebody who actually is sick. And I think the type of policy that you're buying and giving people a chance to invest in makes all the difference in the world as far as, when you're buying stage four cancer types of policies, you know, the odds of premiums going over is very, very small. And that plays into how the whole process works.
That's right. And, we don't want to buy a policy on an elderly person because they're old. They're not sick, bless their heart.
Yeah.
They're going to outlive you and me. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
So we want to buy something from somebody. The average age I like to buy is 66 years old.
Okay.
That's a person that I can trust them that they are really sick. And I did a lot of bidding on policies this week. A lot of them were in their 60s. And my gosh, they were ill. I thought, if I'd been that ill, I'd just went ahead and died right then.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how ill they were. And we bid those policies. I hope we got them. But I know that they need the money. There isn't any doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. Cancer treatments are very, very expensive.
They are. And, they're trying everything in the world at people right now. They're throwing it at them. I've never seen so many cancer medicines they're giving these people.
Mm-hmm.
15 doses of this, 15 doses of that. I mean, it's really powerful right now what they're doing. And as you know, I've talked about this before. Our attorney, who I like very much, is going in to have his stomach removed in December. And, he got esophageal cancer a year ago and did not know he had it. That's what happens to all these men. They always think it's something else and they won't go to the doctor. And, he was having trouble swallowing. Well, if you and I had trouble swallowing, we'd go to the doctor and say, I can't hardly swallow. Well, it was esophagus cancer, and it immediately went to the stomach. Now, they've given him every kind of radiation, every kind of chemo, and now they're going to take the stomach out.
Wow.
Yes.
The entire thing?
Yes, and that's at UT Southwest.
Wow.
And they have 5 doctors on his case.
Wow.
So they're serious. They're going to try to save him.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, when somebody is diagnosed with cancer, especially stage 4, obviously our main goal and our hope is that they do survive. But for those who are in, severe cases, they do need to sell their policy so that they do increase their odds of surviving and beating the cancer so that they can fight it. And so they need somebody there to buy the policy. And that's where you come in, and you're bidding against other companies who also want to buy the same policy.
That's exactly right. And usually, we kind of know what's going to happen, and we bid it accordingly. And right now, we're just having a hard time getting those policies. So we've had to discount our fees way down in order to help the client.
That is super cool.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we're just doing it, and you can't do it. I mean, you just got to do what's best for the client.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really great that you've got, you said, about 2 million in policies almost ready, right?
Yeah, I think they'll be ready on Tuesday. We will be emailing people, telling them how much we can allow in these policies. Because
mm-hmm.
We can't put their whole thing in like we'd like to, but we're going to put a percentage in.
Yeah. So for somebody who's brand new, who hasn't come to see you before, and I know you have a number of people who have invested with you for years and know how the process works, and they just sail through it, easy breezy. But for somebody who is brand new, how do they know about the actual policy itself?
Well, we tell them. We tell them how it works. We show them samples of policies. and sample examples of LEs where they'll know how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. So then
we do all that for them.
They don't need to be an expert, a medical expert, or know how to read these reports up one side and down the other to understand what they're investing in.
No, our medical experts have already given the opinion. All they have to do is read it. If they don't understand it, call me, or just rely on what we're on us, because we've already read it. We've already made the determination.
Yeah.
We've already bought the policy, folks, because we think it's a good one.
And if the policy is available to invest in, you've already done it. And one thing that we don't really stress very often, when we probably should, is that if there are availabilities, and there's very rare that it happens, but if there are, you'll invest your own money in these policies. That's how confident and sure you are about every policy that you buy.
I wish we had room in every policy for me, and that's the truth, because I love them and I want to invest in them. But it's always, well, Faye, so-and-so is called, and they really need to get in this policy.
Yeah.
And I go, well, okay. Yeah, just we'll do it that way.
You always put the client and the investor
first. We try to put their interest first. Their money is with us, so their money comes first.
So how does this play into retirement? Okay, I know we're really zoomed in on particular policies and the types of policies and risks like that, but let's zoom back out a little bit and look at the big picture. Somebody comes into you for the first time. Say they're in their 40s or maybe even their 50s, and they say, okay, Faye, I have no idea how this works. I haven't really invested in anything before. I'm not an expert in really anything financial whatsoever. I have a chunk of money. I want to retire in 15 years. Go.
Okay, and that's when we say, okay, you want to retire in 15 years, this is the amount of money you've got to invest, this is how long it's going to take, you know. The minimum, 7 to 8 years, you know. And so then we explain to them, if it comes in early, we can reinvest that same year, so you will make a lot more. If it comes in on time, you know, if it's 24 months, it's going to take you 2 years on that particular piece of money. But if we diversify, and you have, you know, $100,000 in each policy or $150,000, you know, it's going to make it quicker. So we want to diversify and not put it all in one policy. Although I do have a lot of people that put huge amounts in their policies. That's just the way they do it.
Mm-hmm. And each one is a little bit different. I would assume that some people, depending on, you know, how much time they have, and, you know, because you plan all this out, I assume maybe some people don't need to be quite as aggressive. Maybe they're in one or two a year, and then others maybe three or four or five within a 12-month period.
Most people are in four or five.
Okay. All right. So you plan it all out. You say, okay, we have this much time, we have to do this much each year, and then you really kind of plan the whole thing out from there. And that's how an overly simplified version of the big picture works.
That's exactly right. And as they can see, if they go to the website, how much is matured this year, how much people have made, you know, they don't have to rely on us. They can just look at it and see. It tells, the initials are on there, whoever made the money, tells how early the policy came in, what if it was 15 months, if it was 10 months, whatever. So they always know.
It's pretty solid.
It is solid.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. You know what? That's the first time we've given out the phone number.
I think it is.
Are we crazy or what?
Well, we got all excited about all this money that people are making. It just got out of hand.
It got out of hand this morning.
So each Saturday morning around this time, we talk about trivia. You bring some interesting things in, whether it's a thing we need to do in our bucket list or something related to a season or whatever. So what are we talking about today?
This is on your bucket list, I assure you.
All right.
Now, you're from Tennessee, right?
Originally, yes.
Okay. Do y'all have hunting season over there?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about hunting.
All right.
You know, right now I know all the women are going to buy their husbands something for a hunting season. You know, I mean, my gosh, there's so many things you can buy a hunter. And do you know how many different animals is in our hunting season right now?
No.
Okay, we've got duck, we've got goose, we've got pheasant, we've got turkey, and we've got white-tailed deer right now.
Really?
All of this is in our hunting season. Duck season, which I think is wonderful, in the north zone is December the 3rd through the 29th.
Ooh.
The south zone is December 10th through the 29th. Now, the high plains up by Lubbock and Amarillo is November the 4th through January 29th. Then goose is only in the west zone, and it's November the 5th through February the 5th.
Wow.
Yeah. And then pheasant, which everybody loves, but we have very few pheasant in this country, is December the 3rd through January the 1st. Then we have quail, which I hadn't even mentioned. Quail is October 29th through February 26th.
Cool. So we have a couple of seasons that open tomorrow.
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Nice.
And then your turkey opened in the north zone November the 5th through January 1st, and the south is November 1st through January 15th. Texas has the most wild turkey of any state. They have over 500,000.
Really?
Wild turkeys, yes. The government, the Agriculture Department, several years ago, I guess 15, 20 years ago, decided that all these states didn't have enough wild turkey. They started putting wild turkey in every state. And now we have, as I said, over 500,000. Now, then, some of the other states have been deluged with wild turkey. They say they walk down their streets, they look out their yard, and there's 20 or 30 turkeys sitting right in the lawn.
Really? Just sitting right there sunbathing?
And they can't get rid of them. And they make a mess everywhere. They just take over the streets. Now, in Argyle, Texas, this week it was in the paper. There was two turkeys walking down the highway together. I couldn't believe it. There's a picture of them just walking down the highway.
Just going for a little stroll.
They were going down for a stroll. So we have an awful lot of wild turkey in East Texas as well as West Texas.
Wow. I don't know why, but for some reason I would not have guessed that that this was such a massive population. I would have said maybe Tennessee, maybe Georgia, maybe even up into like Illinois or something, but I would not have guessed Texas.
Texas has the most wild turkey of any state.
How cool.
It is pretty cool. And we have a good turkey season. As I said, it's November the 1st or January the 1st. In North Texas, and then South Texas is November the 5th to January 15th. Then deer season, that's a really, really big for men. And the North Zone is November the 5th to January 1st. South Texas, then that's where most of it happens because you've got so many deer down there. Oh, my gosh. They're ruining the ranchers, as you know. They've got so many, and they have to thin them out.
Yeah.
And that's November the 5th through January 15th.
All right, so that's already going on.
It is going on. Men have got their blinds set up. People don't realize what they pay for these hunting leases.
Oh, gosh, they're expensive.
Up to $25,000 for a good hunting lease.
Oh, yeah.
And all these corporations, that's a part of what they give the men. You know, you can hunt on their leases. They'll lease it out. And then the men, you know, they get that lease, and the men that work for them get to go there. Now, I had a friend years ago that people from, I think, Kentucky or somewhere, they were coming to Texas and leasing here for hunting season. Now,
wow.
Because the hunting season is so good in Texas for deer. How many people would think we have this many wild animal hunting seasons?
I'm just sitting here, you know, thinking through all these seasons that you were talking about, and I don't know why, but I didn't realize it was so big.
It is big in Texas, especially, you know, duck season, you know, is big, and then now the High Plains doesn't have a lot of ducks, but the other people do, you know, on their lakes. You've got all these ducks that come in, and a lot of people feed them. Then you've got the goose, but pheasant is good, and it's good to February 26th.
Nice.
And of course, the deer is till January, and people do hunt deer a lot.
Yeah,
they'll go for weekends, or if they can get off early, like on a Thursday, they'll go hunt deer, you know, for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. I know people who will take off, like, really early on Thursday, take off on Friday, and they're out. And they don't come back until late Sunday night, sometimes even Monday.
Men are crazy.
Yeah.
They will go when it's so cold that you can't even think straight. They love hunting deer.
Yeah, well, hunting is not really a luxurious activity.
Well, it's not for the faint of heart.
No, no.
It's not a women's deal, let me tell you that.
It's not a day at the spa.
No. I mean, I'd rather go to the spa than go deer hunting.
Yeah. Good thing you're not a man.
Yeah. And, of course, all these people make sausage out of this.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, yeah. They make a lot of different things.
Deer jerky?
Out of deer meat.
I love deer jerky.
Yes. And some people make deer sausage that's, oh, my gosh, it's good.
Yummy.
The seasoning they use is so good.
Oh, yeah.
But now, you know, the duck, you know, it's a dark meat. I haven't had it in a long time, but I know people who used to do it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, pheasant is very good.
Yeah. It's and all course, delicious.
And I used to always... dress out a lot of quail and freeze it.
Really?
Yeah. Used to. I know my husband used to go to South Texas for hunting. Then a lot of people would slip over into Mexico, and there's no limits over there.
Yeah.
You know, we all have limits over here as to how many you can kill in a day, but not in Mexico.
Really?
Yes. And I know a lot of men would sneak over there and hunt and then bring it back.
Cool.
Yeah. They'd bring it back and... you know, styrofoam deals with ice down.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll clean them for you over there also.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's the lazy way to do it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And my way is even better. I go to the grocery store, look at the freezer, and get it out.
So we won't see Faye out in the, out hunting anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. No. I think I'll pass on that.
Yeah, go to the grocery store.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. That's the lazy man's way.
Oh, that's fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And it's 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, let me ask you this. I know that we usually talk like towards the first of the year about how usually the first quarter, January, February, March-ish, the bidding gets really intense because a lot of these companies they have all their fresh money in and they make, you know, really aggressive bids, and then they start to fade off towards, you know, the end of the first quarter, and then that's when companies like yours will come in and you'll be able to get freed up to make a lot of bids that you wouldn't normally the first part of the year. So how did the trend go through the rest of the year? Because I know that in 2017 you started really, really early.
Yes, we did. And I think, you know, we've done very, very well this year. It's never as good as it should be. You know, it always needs to be better. And that's because we need more policies all the time, you know. So, you know, we're buying as many as we can up to the last day.
Okay.
And, you know, then we're going to start off January bullish as ever, you know.
Is there any kind of difference in the bidding process or policies that come available or ones that you can bid on? Is there any difference as we get in through, like, the end of the year into the holiday season? I know a lot of companies, you know, they tend to, like, do a little bit less business just because of the nature of the industry.
We hope they do a little bit less.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a little bit more.
Yo. So the holidays really bear no, they have no bearing whatsoever on bidding on life insurance policies and what's available to bid on.
No, we're going to be bidding on policies till about the 20th.
Oh, wow.
Yes, about the 20th.
And then you'll process all those, and then we come into January, and we start fresh all over again.
Yes, we do. Start the process all over again. Of course, we may still have some more maturities between now and December 30th.
And there's really no timeline on maturities. There's no really slow season because it's really out of our hands.
It's out of our hands. You know, we know what they're supposed to do, but that doesn't mean that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They may come in early.
So as you look at, you know, kind of what the landscape looks like in 2017 as an entire year, and then we start looking ahead to 2018, what kinds of things do you see happening? Is this, you know, do you think it's the new year is going to be really aggressive, maybe a little less?
Yes, I think it will be. I think we'll be aggressive. I think the other people will probably be aggressive.
Okay.
And we're going to try to just, you know, buy more than we've ever bought because we always need them.
So now for somebody who is thinking about retiring in the next couple of years, what do you suggest they start doing? Say they've gone to their jobs, they have a couple of 401ks, they got a little bit of money put away. What would you suggest that somebody actually starts doing right now for the planning process?
Well, you know, they need to start and say, okay, you know, how do we want to end up? How much money are we going to need? You know, if we're going to need $100,000 a year, are we going to need $200,000 a year? They need to plan out what their strategy is going to be. Mm-hmm. Are they going to retire at 59? Are they going to retire at 70?
Yeah.
You know, we need to know when are they going to have the cutoff and say, we're just going to retire at 59. We're going to buy a retirement home. And we're going to start collecting the interest.
Okay. So start looking at what you got and what you have coming up in the future.
That's right. And you've got to say, how are we going to have enough? We've got $300,000 now. That isn't going to cut it. You know, if they've got $400,000, that's not going to cut it. It's going to take $2 to $3 million if they're going to live like they're living now.
Yeah.
So they have to get prepared, and the only way to do it is start investing in something that will carry you through.
Okay.
That's not going to have downturns.
And people don't have to have all the answers right now. Is there, you
no.
know, go home looking over their financials. They don't have to have all the answers. That's what you'll do. You'll help them work that out and, you know, come up with a good plan over the next several years. But they need to know their current situation.
That's exactly right. We need to know what their situation is. How are they going to get to this point that they want to retire? How much interest are we going to have to make for them in order to get them there?
Mm-hmm. So those who have already been with you for several years, they're already set, they're in place, and they don't have to worry about anything. But
no,
for the person,
doing good.
The one who wants to come see you for the first time, what do you suggest they do? Obviously, you're available for appointments this coming week, I would assume, right?
Yes, I will be available all week. We have some appointments, but we can take more this week. We need to get everybody ready, you know. A lot of people right here at Christmas always want to put extra money with us.
Mm.
So we're trying to do that for people right now. A lot of people have got to take their RMDs. They're sending those out right now. You know, used to, we couldn't even get Bank of Utah to send out the RMD notices.
Really?
And they're doing that this year.
Really?
Yeah, we're glad about that.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I think so, too.
All right.
And that way no one will be late.
So you've always got policies that you're bidding on. You're always got policies that are maturing. You're always reinvesting. So the entire wheel is always moving.
It has to move at all times.
Okay. So for somebody who is ready to come talk to you, at least get some information. They don't have to be ready to go right away, but at least get the ball started. Stop procrastinating. You always say that's the biggest thing is people have procrastinated. They waited too long. Now's the time to start doing something. So what's the phone number that people need to call to come and make an appointment to come see you?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And they need to, you know, quit procrastinating, talk it over with their wife, make an appointment, and come in.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.